This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
this? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Cranking it up to 12 because that's how loud it goes. Pick your song. We'll play it. Send it to Plaza Ford Text Line at 410-583-1057. Ravens 41-31 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. Lamar Jackson, 17 of 22, 281 yards, 5 touchdowns, averaged almost 13 yards per reception. And we know you're a stickler for this, completion rather. Nolan, 12.8. Quarterback rating, 158.1.
Can't beat those numbers, Bob. I mean, he's got a perfect quarterback rating. And look at all the guys offensively that, since they've been on this 5-0 streak, the numbers that they've had. Look at what Henry's done over the last five games. Look what Lamar's done. How about Bateman? And you mentioned about Andrew's targets over the last three games. So, I mean, and Zay Flowers last week with 9. So, I mean, offense, and probably the biggest thing over the five games, Bob, is the O-line, you know, how the O-line has played. Because they're playing, they've improved so much.
Early on, when they were down 10-0, and Lamar was feeling some heat, Bill Belichick, during the Manning cast, was criticizing them. He said, if there's a problem with the Ravens, we mentioned, too, missed tackles, which we saw early, as they built that 10-0 lead, Tampa. Ability to maintain and pass pro if they have to throw. And early on, that looked like a legitimate concern.
Yeah, and that goes back to the first two games of the season, you know, when they were throwing it 30-some times, and Lamar was running for his life or getting killed. And that's where the offense and the play-action pass and all those things have come into play. And now the only – and, you know, Falele – he's gotten better, and what's helped him, too, is he's getting these slobber knockers on the other side of him, so he's not getting the really quick, explosive guy, which he struggles with. If you put a big 300-pounder on him, he's going to eat him alive. Rosengarten's the one that has the most problems, the right tackle.
And he's a rookie, and he's learning on the fly.
And he's a year away from really – he needs to get in a weight room and become a man.
Now, as Lamar was brilliant, Baker Mayfield – he wasn't horrible. Two major mistakes. The interception in the end zone was egregious, as they would say, and it was right after Mike Evans dropped the touchdown pass, then got hurt on the same play. But 31 of 45, 370 yards, 3 touchdowns, the 2 picks we talked about. Quarterback rating, 97.5. As it was getting garbage time-ish, that fourth quarter, he was shredding that Ravens defense. And I don't know if they were in the always exciting prevent, but whatever they were doing, Baker Mayfield was making them pay.
Oh, yes.
The one touchdown to White looked like the entire defense was on the right side of the field.
Yeah, they weren't. They haven't covered a running back yet. And Otten was catching. Otten had, what, about 7 catches?
He looked like Dave Casper running around there yesterday.
He was 20 of 29. Baker was for 240 and 2 touchdowns in the second half. And look at all the explosive plays. I'd have to look it up. But, I mean, the Raiders had 5 in the fourth quarter, you know, when they beat the Ravens. And I would imagine that, let me see, Tampa had 4 in the fourth. 4 20-plus plays in the fourth quarter, which is horrible. I mean, we talk about, you know, we talked about it earlier, about having a closer. I mean, come on, come out and shut them down. You know, like Pittsburgh, Bob, in that situation, like Watt would be going crazy.
Sure.
You know, getting a sack or 2 sacks because all you're doing is teeing off. And the Ravens don't have that guy. They don't have that type of guy, you know, or how about that corner who's going to go intercept it and that's the game, you know. You know, Wiggins can go make a play or somebody go make a play. They just don't do that.
Rashad Bateman, 4 for $121, a touchdown, averaged over 30 yards per reception. Here's Rashad Bateman after the game talking about Todd Monken's trust in his skills.
It's a play that we practiced all week. I didn't know if Monk was going to call it or not. You know, he did. He trusted me. He trusted Lamar. And, I mean, I honestly didn't think I was going to get the ball on that play just based off the coverage. But, you know, I seen Antoine Whitfield roll over, and I knew I had a chance of getting the ball at that.
Bob, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he and Winfield play together at Minnesota? Didn't Winfield go to Minnesota? I thought he did. But yeah, it was a hell of a route because Winfield did jump.
Yeah, they were in the same draft class.
Yeah, Winfield did jump, and Bate ran up in the corner. Well, from listening to the broadcast, number 27, the corner for Tampa, is their best athlete and fastest guy on the team. That's the one who picked up the fumble. So Bate's a great route runner. And Bob, if you notice on that route, I mean, when he caught that pass, bam, he put his foot in the ground. His change of direction was unbelievable. And then how about, you know, you look at the offensive guys that when Bateman started to go back to the right, look at all the guys that were sprinting downfield to go block for him. Justice Hill was there. One of the other receivers was there. Tight ends. I mean, everybody is hustling their ass. I mean, that's the kind of thing that the offense has going. And how about when Henry's going to one time and who's leading him blocking down the
field? Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, news from the Nest here on this Victory Tuesday. Ravens won 5 in a row. Rashad Bateman, we've talked about it, how inconsistencies, lack of communication, there's no relationship between he and Lamar. Well, there is, and I guess because you're having success and you're relating, you're having fun, right?
It's definitely fun when you're winning games. You can put up points. You can win in a lot of ways. But, you know, we didn't play a perfect game. There's still a lot of things that we need to do a clean up. I mean, even myself, there's a lot of things that I need to clean up and get better at. So I'm looking forward to going back to practice, you know, fixing those things so we can get a dub in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, the things that you got to clean up, you got to clean up all those penalties. My gosh, they were, what, first and goal, Bob? They end up back on the 40-yard line.
Planes, trains, as automobiles. Yeah, you're going the wrong way.
So there, I thought, actually, for getting 500 and some yards, it was still kind of sloppy, the offense, I thought.
Yeah, and they still wound up kicking a field goal on that drive because of Justice Hill. And even in the first series of the second half, same thing. It was like, all right, you're kind of shooting yourselves in the foot, but taking advantage of what's given. And Justin Tucker, as we talked about with Kevin Ostreicher last hour, he's back.
Yes.
We were worried about him 3 weeks ago. Not worried about him anymore.
Yeah, once he made that 56-yarder, He hadn't gone to the right, to the left. He's only been center cut.
Ravens, 3 sacks last night. Kyle Van Noy, he gets to the quarterback for the 7th time this season. Adape Owe, Adarius Washington also get in there as well. But as we talked about earlier in the show for people just tuning in, pass rush was kind of non-existent there for most of the first half.
And two of the 3 sacks. Washington sack, Bob, was... he came on the blitz and he was unblocked. The other two guys, it was just extra effort. It wasn't them beating the guy one-on-one. No, it was effort sacks by both. So, yeah, it was not a good performance by the rushers beating anybody one-on-one. I was disappointed. I thought Gedeki, the right tackle, I thought he, you know, the week before he was really bad, played pretty good against the Ravens. He played... and Worth played well. He got hosed on the one holding penalty.
Wirtz.
Yeah, the left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a bad call. But their O-line played a lot better than they did against New Orleans, Bob, because I thought that the Ravens would be in the backfield a lot, especially Travis Jones and Matt Abike, and they weren't.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Victory Tuesday, Turn It Up Tuesday at that. Bob, Andy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw will come back, count that dough by yourself. Also talk about the many sports subjects of this day. Who are the 12 best teams in the NFL through 7 weeks now completed? Vinny's Dirty Dozen coming up at the bottom of the hour, and your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Ravens won 5 in a row. Lamar was brilliant. Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing. He's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's rushing record. All is right with the world, right?
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan. Victory Tuesday, Turn It Up Tuesday as well. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Ravens 41-31 over Tampa. Oh, by the way, the Cardinals beat the Chargers. Chad Ryland, former Terp. Game-winning field goal there. We'll get into our picks later on in the show. World Series starts Friday. Maryland's at Minnesota Saturday. College football trying to stack wins. They are underdogs against the Gophers. NBA starts tonight. College basketball is just a couple of weeks away. Where's the time going, everybody? We'll get into that. Right now, it's kind of that dough. That'll make us feel better. Money. Money's
out. The market's, kind of flat today. The Dow's down 49. The S&P's down 14. NASDAQ's down 27. Now, DraftKings is up 45 cents today. Under Armour's down 12 cents. So I got one green, the rest red on my phone today.
Let's start here with the Dallas Cowboys. Troy Aikman made some comments about his former team last week, even went as far as to call the Cowboys wideouts terrible at running routes and lazy off the line of scrimmage. Now, Mike McCarthy addressed those remarks yesterday following Dallas's bye week. The quote from McCarthy saying, "I watch all the tape. I get to go to the meetings. I'm at practice. I have a clear understanding of what and where." Troy's statement in particular, "I don't agree with the word selection. There's definitely a need for improvement, just not one position," that he commented on. Now, Dallas's wide receivers, they have been good enough for the team to be second in the league in passing yards per game, but that might also have something to do with how useless their run game has been. Vinny, buyer, are you buying or selling Aikman's criticism of the Dallas wideouts?
I'll buy it because, I mean, he's got nothing to gain or lose. He just, you know, saying what he sees. And McCarthy is being coached, defending his players. I mean, it'd be the same thing that Harbs would be doing. Harbs defends his players, you know, all the time. He never criticizes. So he's just protecting his assets.
Over to baseball, the Mets' magical run is over. Now attention turns to the busy offseason. All of a sudden, their outlook has changed drastically. If you had asked their fans midseason what would be happening this winter, probably would have heard, you know, the terms teardown, rebuild used quite a bit. But now it seems like they have hope as contenders. Pete Alonso and his status, it's going to be at the top of their to-do list as he prepares to become a free agent. Coming off a great playoff run in which he launched four homers, including that momentum-shifting one in the wildcard round against Milwaukee. Buy or sell, Bob, despite a drop in regular season numbers this year, Alonso showed his value enough in the postseason to get the extension from New York.
I will buy it with a qualifier. He did enough to show New York he deserves an extension. He ain't getting it from New York because they're going after Juan Soto and his $600 million or whatever the hell they're going to get. Pete Alonso, however, at Camden Yards wouldn't look half bad. I don't know if Baltimore would be a deterrent. Money always makes you feel better about ballpark dimensions, but Orioles could use a right-handed stick, one with power. I mean, who knows what Ryan Mountcastle, Gold Glove finalist, because he's arbitration eligible. He's going to get another raise where he fits in. Kobe Mayo's banging on the door. But Pete Alonso, somebody like that, I'm down with that.
Right. Well, I mean, down with that. Multi-time all-star, all the home runs, but it's hard to say what his numbers would look like at Camden Yards. Mountcastle's your only point of reference in terms of the right-handed power bat. And that's not really a good, accurate depiction with all the injury time he's missed. So, hard to say. Hard to say what to do.
If I read it correctly, 36 games post-All-Star break, Mount, he hit one homer. Yeah. They didn't play them all at Camden Yards.
Very true.
Earl Westberg finds a way to get that ball over the fence. Just saying.
Well, yesterday it was confirmed that Deshaun Watson's going to be out for the rest of the season. Kind of had that feeling when you watched the injury take place on Sunday. Torn Achilles. As of now, apparently he's weighing his procedure options. Of course, the traditional repair and long-scale rehab, but also a newer, quote, speed bridge, that's the first I'm hearing of it or reading it, speed bridge procedure that could result in a faster return. Well, if it was up to most people in Cleveland, they would probably suggest that Watson takes all the time he needs to come back. But that albatross contract, that's not going anywhere anytime soon. Buy or sell, Vinny. Sunday, this past Sunday, will also mark Watson's final start as an NFL quarterback.
Ooh, as an NFL quarterback? I'll sell that. Just because... And I said this yesterday. I thought watching that game, actually... He actually was halfway deep. I think he was like 12 out of 4. It's the best he's looked since he's been there, I believe. And I'll have to ask my wife about that new technique. I haven't heard that one before. You know, it's quicker and faster now. I mean, I would have thought that, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins would have had that same type thing. I'm not sure if that's the case.
Yeah, they want him to speed over the bridge to get out of Cleveland.
Right. Yeah, they'd like him to give him some money back.
His best performance was in the second half against the Ravens last year at M&T Bank Stadium.
Yeah.
Was it like 16 or 17 or something?
His last good. Maybe one of his only.
Right. Yeah. But that's their problem.
Very true. More baseball here. Look at the Dodgers lineup. It's loaded from top to bottom, but who ends up being the unlikely hero in the NLCS? It was Tommy Edman. You got all those household names, Ohtani, Betts, they're still contributing. But it was Edmonds' 11 RBIs leading the way in their wins over the Mets. In fact, he's tied with Betts for the most RBIs in their entire playoff run with 12. Next closest is Ohtani with 10. Teoscar Hernandez has 8. Buy or sell, Bob, by the end of the World Series, Edman will still be top 3 in RBI production this postseason.
I'm going to sell it. I mean, blind squirrel every now and again. He had a brilliant series. And let's talk about unsung heroes. Kiki Hernandez. I mean, he's like a slappy during the regular season. He turns into Steve Garvey in the playoffs. So watch out for him. But I think Tommy Edman's not going to turn into a pumpkin. I just don't think the 11 ribbies. Nah. That pace will slow dramatically here, I would think.
And lastly, here in college football, Notre Dame was... Well, they're really still trying to make up for that early season loss to Northern Illinois, but they have rattled off 5 wins in a row, including a win over number 15 Louisville at the time. Their most recent win, a blowout one over Georgia Tech, 31-13. The Irish were favored by quite a bit, so that's not a surprise. But afterwards, Marcus Freeman, being asked about some of the late scoring that led to that blowout, lopsided finish, asked if, hey, were you running up the score? Sort of looking for style points for the playoff committee. His answer, 0% the reason for the late scoring. They just wanted to show confidence in their strong preparation all week. Vinny, are you buying or selling that Freeman wasn't running up the score for style points?
I'll probably have to sell that. I'm guessing they're trying to do as much as they can. And the thing about it is they got Navy and then they got Army. And those are going to be difficult games for them. And you know what's interesting about that? I'll tell you a quick story. Like, we were ranked like 2 or something. Like, we were ranked high. And Air Force we were going to Air Force. They were ranked 8th. And like every Monday, I would do an evaluation of the team we were playing, like personnel-wise. I would watch film, write reports, and I'd give it to Lou on Monday nights. So he come in after practice on Monday night. He says, what do you think of Air Force? So I hand him my report. I said, Coach, they don't have a guy who can play for us. He takes it and throws it. They're ranked 8th in the country, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then we end up beating them like by 30.
Was that D. Dallas? Was that
it was D. Dallas.
Maryland. They've got Minnesota, as we talked about. But Notre Dame, Navy, that's at Rutherford. Notre Dame, 12.5 point favorites. But Navy has beaten. They went... For years and years, it's like Roger Staubach played for them, beating Notre Dame. But they've gotten them a few times here in the new millennium.
Yeah.
Can they do it on Saturday at noon, a national TV fun fest?
Well, Bob, ABC. They don't have a player probably that could play for or start for Notre Dame. But they have a system, and the system's hard. I remember our players used to say, look, Bryant Young, you know, who's Hall of Fame defensive lineman, he said, I hate playing those teams, because all they're doing is they're crawling in your legs all the time, you know?
But different sport, College basketball, how many times we see NCAA tournament that you don't have a guy that can play on our, when you wouldn't be able to wave a towel on our roster.
Yeah,
no doubt. They get bounced first, second round. So there's the cliche. That's why they play the games. It's 58-80, 105-7 the fair. We're not playing games. Dirty Dozen, who are the 12 best teams in the NFL through the first 7 weeks of the season. Then back to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. You want to praise, you want to vent, you want to concern, whatever you got. 410-583-1057. It's Vinny Haney, Nolan here on the Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Dirty Dozen. The 12 best NFL teams according to our GM, Vinny Serrato.
You're damn right I'm serious. Look, they might not be pretty, but any one of mine is worth 10 of yours.
1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. We're cranking up the loud music and we're cranking up the sports talk. Week 7 of the NFL season ended last night with the Ravens over the Buccaneers. Arizona stuns the Chargers at the buzzer. Chad Ryland, former Terp, with the game winner. So records have been achieved. Let's talk about it. The Dirty Dozen, Vinny style.
All right, let's recap. Week 7, number 1 was Minnesota, 2 Kansas City, 3 Houston, 4 Baltimore, 5 Detroit, 6 Green Bay, 7 Buffalo, 8 Washington, 9 Tampa, 10 Pittsburgh, 11 Atlanta, 12 Chicago. So coming in at number 12, 4-3 Indianapolis. They beat the Dolphins 16-10. They're at Houston. Zaire Franklin leads the NFL with 76 total tackles. And you know who's in second?
Roquan Smith
with 74.
Doesn't feel like it, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. Those 17 tackles, 17 helps.
Yeah.
Or 18. Coming in at number 11, 4-2 Chicago. And we're going to hear a lot of the NFC North in these 12. 4-2 Chicago, they were on bye. They're at Washington. And the Bears' defense is one of the 5 NFL teams allowing under 5 yards per play.
That's strong. Real strong, because that was considered, right, the weak point of the team. And by the way, offensively, Caleb Williams starting to get his sea legs under
him. Yes,
he
is. And Jaden Daniels probably not playing. If they say week to week, I'm guessing he's not playing this week. And ribs with a quarterback where you got to twist, I guarantee you that's real painful. So if I'm a betting man, because I've had 5 broken ribs before, he may miss 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, the odds makers are feeling you there, Vinny. According to ESPN Bet, Bears 3-point favorites at Washington.
Oh, yes.
That line has changed almost 6 points, I think.
Which is crazy, Bob, because you said the other day, Mariota played well.
Yeah, can he sustain that? That's
right. Yeah. Team's got to prepare for Mariota. All right, coming in at 10, 4-2 Philly. They beat the Giants in New York 28-3. They're at the Bengals. Saquon Barkley leads the NFC in all-purpose yards with 761.
He looked fast Sunday against the Giants.
Well, he looked powerful, too. He was running over. He was running pissed off.
Yeah, yes, he was.
Coming in at 9, 5-2. This is for Dave Labrosi, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They beat the Jets 37-15. They're hosting the Giants on Monday night. The Steelers lead the AFC with 13 takeaways. And that's big. That's what that defense gives, that pressure. You know, pressure on the quarterback and interceptions and things. Coming in at 8, 5-2 Washington. Beat Carolina 40-7. And said earlier, they're hosting the Bears. Washington has won 3 of their last 4 games by 21 or more points. They've had only 4 such wins over their last 11 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of mediocrity down in that organization. Woo. For many years. But Carolina just kind of, I mean, first series, Dalton's like, hey, you want a touchdown?
Yeah.
Washington? Oh, sure, we'll take it.
Yeah, like I flipped over and it was already 7-0. I says, what, there's 14-something to go.
Yeah. It's going to be a longer year for Carolina.
All right, coming in at 7, 5-1 Minnesota. They lost to Detroit 31-29. They're at the Rams on Thursday night. Vikings, they're 3rd in team sacks with 24. They're very good against the run. They're kind of like the Ravens with the pass.
Well, you got Van Ginkle over there doing things with that flowing hair, and Grenard's been a big acquisition in the offseason.
Yeah, and Daniel Hunter, who left them, is doing a great job for Houston.
Yeah, they basically traded out Grenard for Hunter.
Coming in at 6, Speaking of Houston, 5-2, Houston. They lost at Green Bay 24-22. They're hosting Indy. Houston is second in the NFL in total defense, allowing 277 yards per game. And that's not bad. I mean, and they've got five defensive starters out.
Yeah.
So that was pretty impressive against the Pack. Coming in at 5-2 Buffalo. Beat Tennessee 34-10. They're at Seattle. That'll be an interesting game. Bills lead the NFL with a plus 10 turnover margin.
Yeah, and usually Josh Allen's very giving on the offensive side of things, but tighten it up a little bit. He didn't play all that great first half.
Last three games.
Yeah, he made plays when he needed to in the second half this week.
And they've been running the ball much better.
Yeah, Cook's back.
And what's his name helped him? Their new Cooper helped him. A new wide receiver scored a touchdown, which GM probably liked. Coming in at 4-5-2 Packers. Beat Houston 24-22. They're at Jacksonville. Jordan Love is one of only three quarterbacks to have 15 or more touchdown passes.
He's got a share of picks, though, right? I don't have his stats in front of me.
I don't either.
Easily reachable here.
Yeah, I think he does, Bob. You know, the other two are Tampa and Baltimore.
He has thrown
Baker eight picks.
Picks. There you go.
Yeah, Baker and Lamar. Coming in at 3-5-1 Detroit. They won at Minnesota 31-29. They're hosting Tennessee. Good chance they're going to be 6-1 Detroit. Jared Goff has only 15 incompletions in his last four games, 91 attempts.
You're not afraid of Mason Rudolph or Will Levis?
I am not. Mason Rudolph, watching him the other day, not at all. Will Levis, he'll turn it over eventually.
Yes, he will.
Coming in at 2-5-2 Baltimore. They beat Tampa 41-31 last night. They're at Cleveland. Do we know who's playing quarterback yet? Well, I guess it's Jameis, right?
Because DTR got hurt. Yeah.
All right, in his career, Lamar Jackson has 20 touchdowns and no interceptions on Monday Night Football.
20-0?
Yeah.
Wow. That's why Aikman said he wishes we do call all their games.
That's not bad, is it, Norm?
Could be better.
All right, coming
always
in,
room for improvement.
Well, hey, they're only 23-1 against the NFC with Lamar.
Coming in at number one, Kansas City, 6-0. They won at San Fran, 28-18. They're at the Raiders. In his career, Pat Mahomes is 95-25 as a starter, including playoffs, which is unbelievable. But this year, I mean, they're 6-0. And I was telling Bob, six touchdown passes, eight interceptions, 82 quarterback rating, and they're 6-0.
And where's the howitzer? We haven't seen the old howitzer yet. I know his receiving corps is decimated. But
Kelsey hasn't done much lately.
Looking like he's lugging the piano a little bit there, Travis Kelsey.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bob, bye weekend, he's in New York, he's here, he's probably in London or where, you know, who knows where he goes in his bye week. So they haven't even cranked it up yet offensively, and they're undefeated. All right, so in summary, Kansas City 1, Baltimore 2, Detroit 3, Green Bay 4, Buffalo 5, Houston 6, Minnesota 7, Washington 8, Pittsburgh 9, Philly 10, Chicago 11, Indy 12.
That's the Dirty Dozen coming up around 1:15. We'll have the Feeble 5, the five worst teams in the NFL through the first 7 weeks. We'll come back, take your phone calls. You're on the line, you're next. 410-583-1057 is how you get in. NFL Lunch, feed you some more football as we hear from John Harbaugh talking about his team's win yesterday, last night, I should say, against Tampa. And then Brian DiArdo, he'll be joining us. DiArdo, right?
You were correct.
All right. I can't understand my own handwriting, but he's with CBSSports.com, and he's very entertaining. We like him, and he's going to make you like him at 1:30. Moves, but let's go to Shiloh, West Baltimore. Shiloh, thanks for holding. What's up?
That's no problem. Thanks a lot for giving me. Hey, really, I'm going to try and make it real quick. Hey, couple things real fast. I'm hoping that Zay Flowers, I seen when he went down. I'm hoping he's good, man. I'm praying for Marlon Humphrey, man, because he's just starting to come back around, right? I'm hoping that those guys be all right. But, man, let me just say this real fast, right? So, the last person should be calling this station, Bash Lamar, as a New York Jet fan. I ain't going to call no name. I normally don't do that. But they're just 2-5 right now, last time I checked. Hey, Vinny, real quick. Two things. As an ex-GM, right?
Uh-huh.
the way this defense, especially that back end plan, please tell me how can you restructure a Marcus Williams contract and get another safety in here if that's possible. That's the first thing, Vinny. But I want to say the last thing for last, right? The best thing for last. Hey, Vinny, when I was watching the game, right, just like everybody else was, and when they sacked Lamar back-to-back and the way Temple was moving, but I got a little nervous, right? But, Vinny, this is the point I'm trying to make. That man got sacked back-to-back. We was down 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
He threw 5 TDs. We won by. We probably could have won a lot more than that, right? But, Vinny, this guy is unbelievable, man. He unbelievable. So, to go back to the defense question, Vinny, what can this team do, the GM, the coach, anybody, to fix that backfield? As a former GM, I want to hear your spread. What can we do to fix the backfield back there?
Well, Dean Pease, they brought in Dean Pease.
He's an advisor.
As an advisor, and his position of expertise, secondary. So he's been a secondary coach. So, you know, hopefully he can help some. But I'm telling you what, they could not cover a running back last night out of the backfield for nothing. So I don't know. The next thing you can do is maybe they bring somebody. My gut tells me they're going to bring in somebody on defense.
Via trade, we're saying.
Yes, by the trade deadline, just to jumpstart the defense or interject something into the defense. Because they got to do something. Because you cannot waste this offense. You know, because the defense, I mean, they're 5-2. They're 5-0, you know, and has the defense really... Well, Marlon Humphrey's 2 interceptions, they were big in that game.
And he had the big one against Cincinnati.
Right. But they still had to score 41, and they gave up 31.
Yeah, and scored over 40 against Cincinnati. Or was it over 40 against Cincinnati?
Okay. But I mean, they give up way too many points in the fourth quarter. That's the problem. So what do you go, you know, I don't know what, is there the dominant pass rusher out there? Or is there, you know, another DB type guy? I just feel like they're going to do something.
In the 5 straight wins, 28 against Dallas, got shredded in the fourth quarter in that game, yep, too, by the way. 35 against the Bills, 41 against Cincy, 30 against Washington, and then 41 last night. So the offense is holding up their end of the bargain for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the defense is averaging giving up 26 points a game. I mean, so if you're giving up 26, you know, the offense got to score 30 every game, and they're averaging 30 points a game, and that's what they got to just to be cover for your D.
Let's get back to the phones. Go to Ellicott City. It's Kevin. Kevin, what's happening?
What's good, Vinny and Bob?
Hey, man.
I didn't do too bad yesterday, Bob. I undershot our offensive prediction, I think, a little bit. But I was in that 30 range.
Well, if you had the over in the total, you're good. I mean, the points in the over, you were good.
Yeah. Jeremy was pushing to us the under.
What?
Yes.
That son of a bitch. Oh, never mind. What's going on, Kevin?
All good. I feel like the defense, I was probably 60-65% right on my side of expectation there. I mean, that first couple minutes had me a little perplexed. But then we kind of stood our ground for a little while there. We started to hit pretty good. And then, obviously, Baker, he's a good quarterback. He's probably the worst to have to go against when it's scramble time. But how about Rashad Bateman and Derrick Henry just eating those dudes?
Mm-hmm. No, that was great.
Yeah, and Mark Andrews, thanks, Kevin, for the call. And we've talked about it. They're becoming much more multifaceted offensively. Gaiman would say Flowers was virtually a non-factor. And, yeah, I know he got tweaked a little bit there.
Well, did he get the wind knocked out of him?
I saw him. Well, we all watched the game. But yeah. It looked like he was almost in tears on, like, their first or second drive.
Yeah, because ran off and was laying on his back and, like, bringing his knees up. I thought, my first thing was, he got the wind knocked out of him.
Yeah.
But then he was over on the bench, and then, like you said, kind of crying, sweating. I don't know what it was.
He came in, and then he was they had to sub him out because Belichick was talking about it, but he was in for the fumble.
Yeah.
Or the lateral that went haywire. But point is, he had one catch.
Right.
On the night, and they still put 41 points on the board. Let's go to Randy in Annapolis. Randy, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Hey, Randy.
So, you're dating yourself with Columba, by the way. Anyway.
It's timeless. It's timeless, Randy.
That it is. I wanted to get your perspective on being able to come back from like 10 down, if that is encouraging. And with regards to the defense, Trenton Simpson seems a little bit of a liability. But the problem is, I don't know what you do by putting Hamilton at linebacker, but then nobody else has been showing they can cover either. So I'll be quiet and let you talk.
I thought Simpson probably played his best game last night. He had 8 tackles. And when he had 8, you know, and Roquan had 18. So between the two backers, they had 26. So I thought Simpson was more active and getting off blocks better last night than he has been. I think, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, because they got Chubb next week and they got Jameis Winston. So I would imagine they're going to try to run the football a lot. So Simpson maybe can stack some games together.
Yeah, we'll get into the matchups for week 8. But the early line is Ravens minus 11 at Cleveland. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's up?
Hey, hello. What's going on with y'all, man? I called it yesterday on the Big Bad Morning Show. I said, hey, we're going to get the Lamar Jackson 5-piece special. 5 touchdowns, you know, passing touchdowns. But, hey, Vinny, you know what's worrying me, man? You know what I'm going to say. Shout out my man Shiloh because he took the words right up my mouth. Shout out my man EDC. But I feel like he got to go make a move on that back end, man. I don't know what's going on with him. But it's still early. I look at it like this, right? I love that our offense keep balling, right? But it'd be even better if, you know what I mean, we can, you know, 40. It was 41-18, man. That, like, it don't make no sense. Like, I'm happy for the win, but let's get it together because, you know, when the playoffs come, I don't want to have to keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I want to be able to put some balls on it. I mean, put some points on the board and be able to 3 and out every down. It's not that hard. So hopefully we get it together. And I feel like these next 3 games, who we got? We got the Browns, Broncos, Bengals. This would be a true test.
No, Steelers. Steelers before the Bengals, I think.
No, we play the Steelers on Thursday night.
No, Bengals are on a Thursday night.
I mean, my bad. We play the Bengals November 7th.
It's the Cleveland, Denver, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh.
Right. We play Pittsburgh the 17th. So I'm looking at it. That's going to be a big matchup because I already know. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, Pittsburgh, they're going to come to play. So we just need to see what our defense can do. But other than that, everything looking good, though.
Any apologies, Trippy, for Rashad Bateman? Because I know you've been a big critic of his.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you said that. I apologize to Bateman, man. You know what I mean? But, hey, I want to see it in the playoffs, though. That's keep it going, though.
Hey, him and Lamar, right?
Thanks, Trippy. Rashad Bateman, we've talked about it, praised him, and rightfully so, because he's been the subject of a lot of heat from us, Trippy, and a lot of other listeners as well. And I'm sure maybe within the confines of one winning drive, people have been giving him the business. But he's breaking out this season for sure. We'll come back NFL lunch. Going to hear from Bateman and Andrews and Henry and Harbs. It's going to be like romper room. I see this guy. I see that. That guy, we're going to hear from Todd Bowles, too, because he was taking some national criticism for having a starters in the game, which was out of hand in the fourth quarter. And then we got the Feeble Five. Who are the 5 worst teams in the National Football League through 7 weeks? Stick around. You'll find out.